for just a moment. Second Kings chapter 6. And let's go to verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13. In this chapter, Elisha was reading the mail of the king of Syria. And everywhere where he was going to ambush Israel, God would tell Elisha where they were going to be, and he would tell the king, and he'd say, don't go down there because they're going to be there. And every time they sent someone there, they found out that they were going to be ambushing there, okay? So the king of Syria, he had a little meeting, and he said, who's telling Israel our secrets? And they said, no one. And they said, there's a prophet in Israel who is telling the king's secrets. And he said, well, we're going to go get him. Okay, and that's where we're going to pick up the story here. Verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and bring him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. I want you to know that sometimes, you know, we don't have to hide who we are, what we are, or even from our enemies. Amen? It's like, oh yeah, Elisha's in Dothan. It was almost like a dare to them. Therefore, he sent their horses and chariots and a great host. Everybody say a great host. And they came by night, and they compassed the city, okay? So they surrounded the city where Elisha was. And verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he had his breakfast, his cereal, and he went outside. He didn't have his coffee yet, though. And behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? I want you to know that if you're surrounded by things, God will give you the answer of what to do. Amen? Don't be moved by horses or chariots or the number of things that are against you or anything like that. Look, I like how Elisha answered. He answered what? Verse 16. So let's make a decision that we're not going to fear. Say, I'm not going to fear. And then he said, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, like I said, the servant didn't have his coffee, so all he saw was the other host. And I'm sure that he probably looked at Elisha saying, what are you talking about? They that be with us is more than them. No, I see them. I don't see anybody for us. Notice what Elisha did, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. How many know sometimes when we're not seeing what we should be seeing, we can ask the Lord to help us. Because he sees the unseen. Okay? And what did he see? Notice one quick prayer. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes. Isn't God good? You know, simple prayer, simple faith. He couldn't see beyond the natural, but he needed to see beyond what was seen. Okay, Lord, open his eyes. Poof, all of a sudden, wow. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So, you know, I just want to encourage you that God wants you to know. God wants you to see. God wants you to understand. And sometimes the missing link is just us asking the Lord for help. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, but it was good because the Lord just impressed it upon my heart. Can you say amen? So that's not even in my notes. God just decided to show me that during worship. I said, okay. If you have, I want you to turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. And look at someone close by. If you're close by, someone say, it's going to be good tonight. Say, I hope you're ready. Amen. Well, this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. I had no idea what I was going to be talking about tonight, and I'm sitting in my office today, and I'm meditating and praying. I'm doing other things, and all of a sudden, God just dropped this into my heart. And I'm just calling it the blessing of our inheritance. See, I have an inheritance. And my inheritance makes me blessed. So we're going to look at the blessing of our inheritance. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 14. Okay? He starts off verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a few things. Right? He didn't say a few. All spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ. Okay? So I want you to know that that has already been done. That's not something he's going to do. That's something he did. He hath blessed. Is that not past tense? I didn't study English. I speak it. But this is past tense, isn't it? It's not something God's going to do. It's something he already did. Now, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him. Aren't you glad that you've been chosen? You were handpicked. Not only were you were hand-created. God breathed the very breath into you to make you a living being. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God chose you to be holy. He chose you to be without blame in love. And then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Say, I'm adopted. According to the good pleasure of his will. Why did God do it? It was his good pleasure to make you his child. It was his good pleasure to bring you into his family. It was his good pleasure to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God did it because it pleased him. Say, I please God. Hallelujah. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You may not have found your place, but you can find your place right here. You're accepted in the beloved. God accepts you. Amen? As you are, and then he'll transform you into his image. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Where is our redemption? In him. Okay? Everything we have from God is in Christ. And if Christ is in you, then you have everything in God. Because it's through Christ. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Say, our God is loaded. He's got riches of grace. Not just one, he's got riches. He's got so much grace that he can fill this place and a million more. Amen? Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That means he helps us increase in wisdom. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. If you know it, is it a mystery anymore? So you got to know that God wants his will known to you. He wants you to know his will. Okay? According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. See, it just pleased God to do all these things for you. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, I like this phrase because that tells me that God is so good, God is so wonderful that he can't tell it to you in a day. He can't tell it to you in a year. He can't tell it to you in 10 years. It's going to be take the dispensation of the fullness of time. God is going to tell you how good he is to you. Because he is so good that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Because why would he want to gather us in Christ? Because that's where we get the promises. Christ has the goods. Without Christ, you can't get the goods. But you got to be in Christ, and you get the goods automatically. Okay? Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Isn't that awesome? We have relatives in heaven and on earth. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, in whom we also have obtained a what? Does that sound like I'm trying to get it? I have obtained an inheritance. Oh, that gets me excited. I have obtained an inheritance. Let me tell you about this. My father received an inheritance. His aunt passed away. And he didn't know that he was included in her will. And my father and his cousin split my aunt's assets. And my dad received over a six-figure inheritance. And that was good because he shared it with his kids. That's how I bought my first new car. My dad used his inheritance to bless his son. Amen. And he also blessed my two sisters too. So don't think that, you know, he shared with us equally. All right? Because why? We've obtained an inheritance. That is so good. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. How does God work things? According to his will. So if you wonder why something is not working, you better find out what his will is. Because maybe what you're trying to do isn't his will, and that's why it's not working, because he works all things according to his will or the counsel of his will. Okay? God will never do anything outside of his will. Okay? And he's given us his will so that we can work in conjunction with him. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Man, God wants to share his glory with you so that you can be the praise of his glory. In other words, God wants to use you as an advertisement to the world that he wants to be so good to you, because if he's good to you, then you can tell others, look, if he was good to me, he'll be good to you, because he's no respecter of persons. So let's be God's advertisement. Let's receive God's goodness. Now the devil, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He doesn't want you to benefit from God's goodness. And how does he try to keep you from God's goodness? He tells you lies. He speaks negative words over you that aren't true. But he gets us to believe them. And when we believe the lie, we're going to be bound. But if we believe the truth, we're going to experience freedom, right? You shall know the truth and what? The truth will set you free. So the truth that sets you free is the truth that you know. Because God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. They perish for what they don't know. Okay? Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. we could all raise our hands and say, we trusted after we heard the word of truth, right? You're here tonight because you heard and you trusted. You heard and you believed, and that's why you're here on a Wednesday night. You could probably do so many other things, but you're here because you entered into a love relationship with Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you fall in love with Jesus, it doesn't get bad, it gets better. It gets better and better. Okay? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, salvation is the cake, but the Holy Spirit is the frosting. And when you take that frosting, you seal that cake. You spread that frosting over every inch of that cake, don't you? You cover it, you make it nice, and you make it appealing. See, yeah, you receive salvation when you believe, but then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. God wanted to seal in the flavor of Jesus in you. He basted you with his goodness. Hallelujah. He put you in the oven called life, and you received his son, and you came out. You're looking golden brown, and you're nice and juicy because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because there were cracks in our life, and we need all the cracks sealed up. Now look at verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance? Do you realize that we have only received a down payment of our inheritance? Now, when you purchase a car and you put money down, did you pay the whole amount? No, you only put a portion of it down. See, now the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When are we going to get the full thing? When Jesus returns again, this corruption is going to put on incorruption. This flesh is going to be transformed. We're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to get the full amount of our inheritance. But can you imagine if the down payment is so good? Imagine what it's going to be like when we get the whole thing. Oh, my goodness. I did not envision it coming out this way, but I'll tell you what. Our inheritance is all-encompassing, all-inclusive, and contains everything you need, want, and desire. There's not one thing that is missing in your inheritance. There's not one thing that God didn't think of in your inheritance. There's not one thing that lacks in your inheritance. It is all inclusive. It is all encompassing. It's from Genesis to Revelation. And everything in between is our inheritance. Our inheritance is big. We don't have no stingy God. And I know that that's not good English, but you know, we don't have a stingy God. He's a giver. He's a liberal giver. He loves to lavish good things on you. He'll shower you. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The New Testament idea of inheriting, it includes all spiritual good provided through Christ. Remember he said we're blessed with how many blessings? Every or all spiritual blessing, in Christ Jesus. And it is based on the promises of God. If you can get a hold of the promise, you get a hold of the inheritance. Okay? God gave the land of Canaan to Israel as an inheritance. So your inheritance can mean land. It can mean goods. It can be anointings and blessings. It could be all kinds of things. It could be riches. It could be money. It's not limited to just one thing. Our inheritance is both immediate and ultimate. The things that God gives you last forever. There's no end to them. And the more we can enjoy now, the better. Amen? So it is immediate and ultimate. All legitimate heirs share in the inheritance equally and jointly. So we are, what kind of heirs with Christ? Joint. That means whatever he gets, we get an equal portion or share. If he gets eternal life, we get eternal life. If he gets his needs met, we get our needs met. If he knew what his purpose was, we can know what our purpose is. Amen? Whatever Jesus gets, we get because we are joint heirs. We share equally in that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I'm excited though, just over the foundation. Legally adopted children enjoy full inheritance rights along with natural offspring. Whether you're born or whether you're adopted, as far as God is concerned, it's the same thing. Amen? So if things didn't go good for you before, guess what? They're about to change. That means they're going to go better for you now. Amen? Because maybe some of us, we weren't born Jewish. But God allowed us to be adopted in. And we can say, I work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan is out of this world. His medical plan is by his stripes, and I don't even have a copay. And even though I work for him, he treats me like a son. Because I've been adopted and I have the same rights and privileges and benefits. The Christian's spiritual inheritance is based on our relationship to Christ. You got to be in Christ. And in order for people to freely, to be truly free, you've got to continue in the truth. You can stop being free by stopping going with the truth. When you stop going with the truth, you will experience a lack of freedom. If you want to be free, you got to continue in it. Amen? You got to see it through to the end. Listen, Christianity is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And how many know you run differently in each, all right? Now, number one, our inheritance, it means to receive, to possess, to obtain, and to have what God has promised us in his word. Okay? Let me say that one more time so it gets in you. I want it to get in you. I want this to bubble up. Amen? I want you to get so excited about being an heir, because it is exciting. Our inheritance is to receive, possess, obtain, and have what God has promised us in his word. Number one, it is our birthright. Now, in the Bible, they would favor the firstborn son. He would get a double portion. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Amen? That means that there were others that followed him to be born from the dead. Amen? How do we know? We've passed from death to life because we believe in Jesus. And it's written. So God wrote to us that we know that we passed from death to life. Our inheritance is our birthright. Okay? You have a right and a privilege to receive all that God has for you. Because you've been born again. You've been born into the family of God. You become a child of God. That gives you rights and privileges. Because Gabriel and Josiah are my sons, they have rights and privileges of being a Pishgah. Because they're my sons. It's our birthright. All right? And I want to go into the next one. Our inheritance is received as a gift. How many like getting gifts? Amen? When you get a gift with your name on it, it makes your day, doesn't it? It's like, praise God, what'd I get? What'd I get? You know, it's a good thing. You got to see God giving you gifts. Okay? Go with me. Well, we already read in Ephesians 1:7, it was God's good pleasure. Why did God do what he did? It was his good pleasure. He thought it'd be great to send his son. It was his good pleasure to bring you back to him. God was in Christ reconciling the world to him. He did it because he wants to. Say this with me. Say, I'm going to let God be good to me. So when God is good to you, don't say, oh, I can't receive that. Oh, Lord, you don't have to do that. Yes, he does. Just let him do it. That's his nature. Just receive. Enjoy the gift because God is a good giver. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. God won't give you what you don't like. He created you. He knows how you think. So just receive God's gift. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I could quote this, but I want you to see it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you be Christ, are you Christ? Yeah, because now you call yourself a Christian. That means you're Christ's. So then he's talking to you. Say, he's talking to me. So if you're Christ, that's the qualifier. Then you are Abraham's seed or offspring and heirs according to what? It was a promise. Did you know that your father made you promises? And when your father makes you a promise, he always does what he says. Amen? His promise is a gift to you. Okay? So our inheritance has to be received as a gift. At Christmas, how do you know the gifts belong to you? Because your name is on it. Oh, aren't you glad that God knows your name? Unless God knows your name. He's called you by your name. He loves your name. Amen? So you got to see every promise of God with your name on it. That means, see, if your name's not on it, you wouldn't have a right to open it, but because your name is on it, when you got born again, what happened to your name? It was written in the book of life. Amen? When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, God in heaven marked that occasion and he wrote your name in his book. And because your name was written in his book, that means your name was beyond his promises. That is so good. Go to Colossians chapter 1. And all I did really was just go through the inheritance just in the New Testament. I didn't even really touch the Old Testament. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Boy, we ought to do more of that, shouldn't we? Listen, if you're around a whiny baby complaining person, just offer to give thanks to God. You know, giving thanks to God will eliminate complaining. Giving, notice, giving, it didn't say gave. Oh yeah, I gave thanks to God 2 weeks ago. Giving, that means now and ongoing. Thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of what? Of the inheritance in the saints in life. God made you qualified. God qualified you. How did he qualify you? He sent his son Jesus. You don't have to earn your way to his inheritance. You can't earn your inheritance. You can't buy your inheritance. You have to receive it as a gift. You have to see God being gracious to you and giving you an inheritance. Amen? You have to receive it as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. If you want to earn something, what you earn is called a wage. Now, if you want to do it on your own, you're going to earn death. Now, death doesn't pay well. Death will leave you helpless, motionless, speechless. It'll take everything away. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Next thing I want you to know about our inheritance is you have to regard it as immediate and ultimate. Okay? Listen, God didn't have an inheritance B for you. There's no plan B. Did you ever notice that? If you don't find, you can't get to heaven any other way. There's no plan B. There's only plan A. All right? Because God is such a master planner, he doesn't need more than one plan. All right? Because whatever he does works. Okay? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what kind of inheritance? That means it is ultimate. It is ongoing. It is forever. Now, Jesus came down and man fell. And we needed a Savior. So God came down in the form of man. We call him Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He walked the earth. He was flesh and blood, 100% man and 100% God. And he came to negotiate us a new deal. Hallelujah. He's a master negotiator because he can represent man because he was man. He walked in your shoes. He was tempted like you are, but he overcame. He never sinned. That's what gave him the power to negotiate. And he negotiated a new and better covenant. Verse 16, where a testament is, there must also be necessity of death. Listen, a will is not effective until someone dies. You can write, so how many people have their will right now? All right, you have your will, but you're alive. But that will won't take effect until you die. And God wrote a New Testament. And he had it ready. And Jesus being negotiator, Jesus was the power of attorney for God. He had the right and the privilege. He was like an ambassador from heaven. He had the right to negotiate with man. And he negotiated a deal, and then he said, I'm done, I'm going to die. And he died, but he didn't stay dead. But when he had to die so that his will would now take effect, and because he died, you and I are heirs. And every time you go to a church service like this, you're coming to the reading of the will. And the reading of the will is you get read what legally belongs to you so that you can now possess it. You get a call from a lawyer, and he says, Uncle Joe died. And you're like, oh, I miss Uncle Joe. And he says, well, I want you to come, and we're going to have the reading of the will. Because you may not have known that Uncle Joe put you in his will. You don't know what Uncle Joe gave you, but his will does. His will reveals to you what is yours, and a will is a legal document that you can now claim whatever Uncle Joe has given you. Amen? And so you go to the reading of the will. So tonight, you're under the reading of the will. You're finding out what belongs to you. And once you know what belongs to you, now, because you heard the will and you have the will, guess what? It's yours. If Uncle Joe left you a car, you can go get the keys to that car and you can drive it because you have a legal right now to put that car in your name. If Uncle Joe left you a poodle, you know, maybe you're a dog lover, I don't know. But you have a right now to go and claim that poodle because the will said that that's yours. And that's what a will does. A will divides the person's property legally. All right? Is this good? First Peter 1:4. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I have to read this from the Amplified too. 1 Peter 1:4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible." That means it's pure. That means it cannot be corrupted. Okay? That means no one's going to argue about it. You know how they have, what does they call it, testate court, where they contest a will? You know, you got some ornery cousin that says, "You shouldn't have gotten that, I should have gotten that, blah, blah, blah." And they contest it. But because we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, it can't be contested because it's pure, it's holy. It was written by God. There's no mistakes, there's no loopholes. It is what it is. God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. The New Living Translation calls it a priceless inheritance. A priceless inheritance. And God said in Hebrews 12, 28, you don't have to turn there, but he said, "We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." You have an inheritance that can't be shaken. Notice we're receiving a kingdom. Say, "I'm receiving a kingdom." You got to see yourself as a king and a priest in God. Think about how a king would carry himself, or a queen. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Princess Diaries, but this clumsy girl, you know, her grandmother was a queen and she didn't know it, and she was trying to teach her how to act like a queen, you know, and you got to put your little pinky out when you drink tea, I don't know. But we should think. See, if you're going to carry yourself like a king, you're going to have to think like a king. You can't go to the palace thinking like a pauper. Amen? So you got to think like a king. And since we're inheriting a kingdom, you know, Psalm 37:18 says, "Our inheritance will endure forever." That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Okay, I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3. And really our example for this is Abraham. Did God give a promise to Abraham? Did that promise become a reality in Abraham's life? God said, "I'm going to make you a father of many nations," right? Well, did Abraham become a father? He said, "I'm going to bless you to be a blessing." Was Abraham able to bless others? You know, when you got 318 employees, you're doing pretty good financially. All right? So, Galatians chapter 3, kind of gives us the overview of Abraham, and I'm not going to be able to get through the whole thing because my time is already up. But I want to touch something here. I want you to look at verse 6, and we're going to see some things about Abraham that will help us receive the blessing of our inheritance. Amen? Because the way Abraham did it is the way we do it. It's the same way. Verse 6, it says, even as Abraham, what did Abraham do? He believed God, and what happened when he believed God? He became righteous, how? By being good, right? He became righteous by investing money, right? How did he become righteous? By believing God. How do we become righteous? By believing God, okay? You say, well, that's so simple. Exactly. You know, we should not avoid things because they're simple. Why? Do you want it hard? No. Okay? So Abraham believed God. He obeyed God's word and believed what he said, didn't he? And see, Abraham had a faith that worked by love. He loved God. And because God told him to do some things, he did it and he had good results. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So how did you become a child of Abraham? By what? By faith. By believing in God. By acting on his word. God said, I love you, and you believed him. God said, I want you to accept me as your Lord, and you did, and it happened. All right? You believe God. The same way Abraham believed God, we believe God, and we get the same results. Okay? And we have the same faith that Abraham had. Mark, just write down, if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 15, it talks about us having the same spirit of faith as we believe, therefore we speak. So we have the same spirit of faith, okay? Because if you're going to receive your inheritance, it's going to be by faith. Okay? Verse 10. Well, verse 9 says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Say, I'm blessed. How do you get blessed? By what? By faith. You know? And if you're blessed by faith, you can't be saying how bad it is. If you're blessed by faith, then your speech has to be blessed. You know, too many times people talk themselves out of a blessing. I've done it. I've limited God by my stinking thinking. Or my small, minute. I mean, God is a big God. So you're blessed by faith. The way you receive blessing is through faith. Okay? We already found out God's already blessed us. Well, if God blessed me, how come I'm not benefiting? Because you're not using faith. Because faith brings the blessing to you. Faith makes the blessing a reality. Yes, the blessing is there. It's like a dump truck is in your yard. But until you tilt it and get the stuff out of it, you can't benefit from it. Your faith tilts the dump truck in your favor. Because your faith is the power that moves the motor that unloads the dump truck. He daily loads us with benefits. Does that sound like a spiritual dump truck to you? Not a trash truck, a dump truck. Okay, verse 10. Can you give me a few more minutes? All right, I'll take 5 more minutes, okay? Then we'll close. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So if you're trying to do it by the works of the law, all you're going to have is a curse. Okay, he goes on to say, Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. Verse 11, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Aren't you glad that the law didn't justify you? But there was a time when God needed the law to let you know that what you're doing is wrong. Because until a law is imputed, sin is not occurring, because if there's no law, you don't know what's wrong. There was a time and a point in history where God imputed the law to the earth. And once the law was imputed, then if we broke that law, then we were guilty. But now we are not under the law. We're not justified by the law in the sight of God. For the just shall live by what? See, it doesn't require any faith to live by the law. Okay? Verse 12, the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live under them. Look, if you want to do the law, then you're bound by living under it. Or you can live by faith. How do you live by faith? You let God's word tell you how things are. What if my feelings disagree with God's word? If you're going to live by faith, you're going to have to disregard your feelings and do what God said. Do you think that there were times that Abraham felt like he wasn't going to be a father? Oh, yeah. He said, God, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? What was he looking at? He was looking at the childlessness. He stopped looking at the promise and he started looking at what he didn't have. So if you're going to live by faith, you have to let the Word of God tell you how things are. Because what the Word says may be different than what things actually are. Did Abraham and Sarah have kids when God said, you're going to be a father? No, they had no kids. And then it was physically impossible. But does your physical condition change God's word? No, God's word will change your physical condition. But your physical condition won't change God's word. Okay? Why am I talking about this? Because this is part of walking, of receiving your inheritance. Okay? You know, if verse 18 says, if your inheritance could come by the law, it's no longer a promise. I thought that was pretty interesting. Okay? Verse 21, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. In other words, now for us, the promise trumps the law. The promise becomes greater than the law. Okay? And now we live by the promise and not the law. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, under the faith, which should have afterwards been revealed. There was a time when we were under the law, but when faith came, we got out from under the law, and we're no longer under it anymore. Okay? And verse 26, for you are all children of God by how? How are you children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. So when you put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Christ, you become a child of God. When you become a child of God, you become an heir. Verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, that means baptized in the body. That's not necessarily water baptism, but that's when you get born again, you become part of the body of Christ. Have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now you call yourself a Christian. Okay? And, you know, your physical stature, your physical characteristic doesn't matter. It's an issue of the heart now. And then verse 29, we're done. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But you see, he had to tell us how we become an heir. And we do it by faith. Amen? God's given to every man the measure of faith. Ladies, if you had a measure of flour, what could you make? If you went to the store and you had a measure of money, could you buy something? Okay? Well, God's given to you a measure of faith. Question is, what are you doing with your measure? You can add some yeast, which is the Holy Spirit. It'll make your measure rise. It'll give you more of a measure. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you're teaching us about our inheritance in Christ. Father, you're helping us receive the blessing of our inheritance. Say, I'm an heir. Say, I have rights and privileges as a child of God. He's given me benefits. I'm going to let God be good to me. His goodness overrides, casts out all the negative junk that the enemy would try to put on me. I'm going to hold on to God's goodness because I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have things. They are mine. I'm going to take hold of them. I'm going to possess them. And I'm going to carry them out. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to enjoy them. And I'm going to benefit from them. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start right now tonight walking in your inheritance. When you leave this place, I want you to think differently about yourself. Come up higher. Look at you from Christ's perspective. When he looks at you, what does he see? He sees the blood. Christ doesn't see your sin. He sees that you're a creation. He sees that you're a child of God. He sees you as royalty. He sees you with a purpose. He sees you victorious. He sees you overcoming. He sees you taking territory for him. Now, we have to tell others that they have what we have. Amen? Don't keep your inheritance to yourself. Because there's others that, you know, we're still taking applications for the flock. Amen? So let's get the word out and tell people that they've already been blessed. Maybe they don't know it. And they need you to tell them. They need you to show them. Now, don't say, you've been blessed. Because that's not too believable. You got to say, you've been blessed. Amen? So we're going to walk different. We're going to talk different. We're going to live different. Listen, don't live substandard. Don't settle for mediocrity. God doesn't want you living on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley. That's not his will. But you gotta, everything that you have from God is received by faith. You gotta hear it, you gotta believe it. You gotta hear it, you gotta believe it, and you gotta do it. Amen? All right. Well, I pray that you've been refreshed, and I'm excited. We're going to let God move more and more. Amen.